Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to A Fine Time for Healing, a sanctuary for your emotional well-being. Your host is Randy Fine, author of the memoir Finally, and the inspirational self-help book Awaken from Life. Now, here's Randy.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. I am your talk radio show host, Randy Fine. Today, I am in extraordinary pain. I'm having a sciatic nerve issue in my hip, and I am flat on my back on the sofa, hoping to get some relief later from a doctor, because I really can't take too much more of this pain. But I want to be here for you guys, and I have a couple of letters that came in. So I am here trying to be a trooper so I can help you guys out. I wanted to first say that the page on Facebook, Narcissistic Abuse Survivors United, it's not really picking up as many members as I would hope. So I urge you to please go on there and sign up and, you know, become a part of the page, help me add up the likes, and let's get this page going. That's the first thing. The second thing is I am writing my book, which I haven't been able to sit and do in a couple of days because of my back. I can't really sit in the chair, but I would like to have your stories to include in it. I have one already. Some of the things that I'm looking for is if you have a story about how you and your siblings have been impacted by a narcissistic family, or if you've had a narcissistic father and you are either a daughter or a son, either one, I'd love to have your story about what your life was like. I'm also looking for a story from a narcissistic spouse and a daughter of a narcissistic mother. If you have a story of triangulation, that is, you know, a good example of triangulation or gaslighting or something like that, or covert narcissism versus overt narcissism, any of these kind of things, I would love to have stories, your stories, and to be able to include them in this book that I'm writing. The number to call if you want to call in is 424-220-1801. I have a couple of people that wrote in to me, so I'm going to start off by answering these questions, and that might take up the entire time. The first question is from Jay. And Jay says, I've been married just over 8 years and have many memories of childhood and married experiences that have made my mind go almost insane trying to figure out what is going on. I've asked and told my stories to many people in search of knowledge to my circumstances, but although most people will listen, their answers show me they are not too sure what I've gone through or am going through. About a year ago, my husband and I had a massive argument, which ended in him threatening divorce and me finding solutions to our problems while apologizing for what I had done. We have currently just had another argument, which I do feel like it was my fault as I reacted to his constant prodding at my flaws while we were attending a family barbecue. Like most of our arguments, I've tried analyzing what happened. I've learned that when we have an argument, I prefer to talk things through until we are all happy again and can move past our problems. Unfortunately, my husband, from the very beginning, has shown me that he cannot handle conflicts easily. When there is a problem, he would rather leave and act like nothing is wrong. I am, most of the time, the person that will have to approach my husband to talk through what happened and apologize and come up with solutions to move forward. In the beginning, he used to throw furniture and has even punched holes in our things when I've tried talking to him. I am pleased to say that he has sought anger management help, which has definitely helped him control himself. I generously am a happy enough person and don't like having negative vibes in the air. I can feel them and they drive me a tad crazy. This is actually hard to explain, which is why I find that I will do a fair amount to resolve a conflict. The conflict that we are currently going through is something I have this bad feeling is going to take more than my usual problem-solving skills. I've tried my usual apology and hug and chat, but can still feel these negative vibes directed at me. I've been feeling at a loss and shut out, so have been exploring different helpful tips for good marriage on the app and through Pinterest. While doing this, I came across someone whose pin about narcissistic behaviors was who put a pin about narcissistic behaviors and was floored at how many things are starting to make sense. I don't think my husband is the worst from what I have seen, and I don't want to go through a divorce, so I'm looking at what can be done. Although from what I've read and heard on your blog, I'm getting a bit nervous that our marriage may be doomed. He's been doing some things for years, such as refusal to apologize. No matter what has occurred, he will not apologize. And he said this is due to when he was a child, his mother used to say, don't apologize when you don't mean it. After a while, he decided not to ever apologize and won't. Most of the time when I have tried explaining how and why I feel the way I do, he has replied that I'm being oversensitive and making a big deal out of nothing and that he won't and can't understand my perspective. That leaves me feeling lost as I'm fairly good at explaining things, or so I thought. And when he still can't understand, I end up not understanding how else I can explain things. Often this has left me doing something similar to him as my last resort to show him how he makes me feel. Although most often than that, I just have to let the situations go. For instance, we were in the process of changing banks, and when we first got married, I had to beg him to make a joint account as he works away, and the banks weren't allowing me to do certain things that needed doing. Took him a while, but he did eventually let me do things with our money and organize things. Last year, he decided that because he wasn't happy with a few things I had purchased, even though they were supposed to be surprise presents for him for our anniversary and Christmas, he took my name off the accounts, and even accounts that had money that was mine, he drew out the money and closed the accounts. And then he went to work without saying a word about any of this. I found this a few days later, and he's basically said to me, this is the way it is, it's not changing. He's done other things. I don't want to read this whole thing because I don't want to spend the whole hour reading. But what I want to say is, well, first of all, in the beginning you say that you talk to people and they'll listen, but their answers show that they're not sure what you've gone through or what you are going through. And that is, that's very, very, very common. Because those who have not experienced this will never fully understand. It doesn't matter how much they care about you, how close they are to you. If they haven't walked in your shoes, they're never going to understand this. This is very, very confusing. You say that you are always apologizing for what you have done. Well, in these narcissistic relationships, it is very one-sided because the narcissist doesn't believe that he has done anything wrong. He believes that he's entitled to treat you the way that he does. So if there's any peace to be made in that house, it's going to be coming from you. He will never be the peacemaker. Now, you said you have currently just had another argument, which you feel like it was your fault because you reacted to his constant prodding at your flaws. It was not your fault. You see, this is a tactic that narcissists use. They pick at you and and pick at you and insult you and hurt you, and they try to get you to react, because then once you when you react, then they can say, see, you're the crazy one, I'm not. This is very, very deliberate on their part. There's no accident to why this is happening. He's provoking you because he wants to see you react, because then he can justify him saying that you're the one at fault, not him. And you say that you have tried analyzing what happened. Well, I find that everyone that I deal with who has had issues of narcissistic abuse does the same thing. And I've done it before too, because I'm a survivor of narcissistic abuse. We want to analyze what happened because we have logical brains and we think in a logical pattern. So when we are dealing with this irrational behavior, our minds want to analyze it and make sense out of it. But there will never be any sense to be made out of it, because the behavior of a narcissist is not coming from a rational place. It's coming from a place of pathology. It's coming from a place of manipulation, from lying, from trying to provoke, from getting reactions. It's not a logical, he's not acting in a logical way to get you to react in another way. It's all to try to make you look like the bad person and make him look like the good person. You say that he cannot handle conflicts easily. Well, that's true, because narcissists cannot handle any conflicts because they believe that they're always right and that they're entitled to everything that they say and everything that they do. So any time a narcissist is told in any way, shape, or form that they are doing something wrong, that you don't agree with them, that their advice isn't right, that what they're saying is hurting you, or what you're saying is upsetting you, any of these things will charge him and cause him to rage. So they cannot handle conflicts easily. You say that you don't like having negative vibes in the air, that you can feel them and they drive you a tad crazy, and that this is actually hard to explain. Well, it's really not that hard to explain, because this is what has kept you in this relationship to begin with. And I guarantee that if we worked together and I asked you what your childhood was like, you would tell me that there were issues with your childhood and with abuse in your childhood, and that you were always the person who had to smooth things over. And so when we have this happen to us in our childhood, we create this pattern again in our adult relationships. And we don't really know any other way, because we expect that that is our job, to smooth everything over in every relationship that we have. It's not really, and it's not a healthy way to have a relationship, but it's all we know when we come from these kind of environments. When he says that his mother used to say, don't apologize when you don't mean it, and so that's why he doesn't apologize, that's a lie. He's not telling you the truth. If his mother said that, she probably was a narcissist herself. But he's saying that to you because he's just trying to manipulate you. He's trying to make you grovel for his attention, for his favor. When something goes wrong, he doesn't want to hear that you're sorry. He wants to hear that he's amazing, he's wonderful, he's done everything right. The admiration, adoration, and there's three A's. I'm sorry, the pain is kind of impacting my brain today. But anyway, he wants you to grovel. That's what he wants you to do. So he doesn't want to hear you're sorry. He wants you to come back and give him his narcissistic supply of all the things that he wants from you, which he wants you to adore him. He wants you to hold him in high regard, high esteem. you say that you've tried explaining how and why you feel the way you do, and he says that you're being oversensitive. Oh, this is a classic line. This is a classic line. Narcissists always tell us that we're being oversensitive. They provoke us to the point where we can't stand it anymore. They say horribly mean things to us. They're cruel. They insult us. They demean us. They humiliate us. And then when we react, they say we're being too sensitive. Well, they know that they're doing that. They're purposely doing that because that gives them justification to act the way they want. The other thing that you say is that most often than not, you just have to let the situations go. Yes, it's always up to you. He doesn't want to solve these problems. This is not going to be a solvable situation. He doesn't want to make things better. He has gotten you to a point where he's confused you. You don't really know which end is up. You're not sure of who you are anymore because you've been in this marriage for 8 years. 8 years, let's see. Yeah, 8 years. And you don't know whether you're coming or going. And this man has created a dependency on him. You're also not sure of yourself because he's telling you constantly that what you're feeling is wrong, that what you're experiencing is incorrect. And this is called gaslighting. He's trying to make you feel crazy. Gaslighting is crazy making. He wants you to question your own sanity. This man wants to be the ruler and king of this relationship, and there will be no other way. They're not capable of love, and you say that he has been through anger management and that it's helping. I have to question that because if he is a narcissist, anger management is not going to help him. What's probably happening is that you are being more pleasing and learning to just forget things rather than provoke him and rather than get into it. It with him. And if you don't get into it with him, yes, you're going to keep the anger down. He's still going to rage because there's almost no way to prevent him from raging because you don't know what his triggers are, and there are many triggers. There's more that you say in the letter, but I don't want to. I have another letter that I want to read, so I don't want to go into the whole thing. But you say that you do feel that perhaps some of your own narcissistic traits are affecting this, and that you feel very lost at the moment. Well, I'm not sure whether or not you have narcissistic traits. It looks to me more like you have codependent traits rather than narcissistic traits. If you need something out of this relationship, that's absolutely a normal thing. Relationships are supposed to be give and take. You're supposed to be able to get something out of this relationship. It should not be you giving the entire time to everything he wants. And because you have needs does not make you narcissistic. It makes you human. And why be in a relationship if he's the only one getting his needs met? So when I answered back your email, I actually said that I was hoping that you would call in, but what I really hope is that you will call me for counseling because we need to talk some of these things out. There are some very deep-seated things that I see here in your letter to me that we really, really need to talk out so that you can understand because this can be very, very confusing until you have it spelled out for you. So if you would like to talk to me for counseling, my fees are very, very reasonable. You can go to my website, randygfine.com/fine-life-issues-counseling. Fine Life Issues Counseling. And Randy is RANDIGFINE.com. Fine Issues Counseling. Go there and contact me, and let's at least have one session so I can get you straightened out on some of this stuff and get you clearer in your head because this confusion is going to drive you crazy. I hope some of that was helpful. I have another letter here from Well, M in behalf of L. And this is in regard to a mom. And she says, I live across the country from my mother, and she came to visit me following the birth of my second child. I have a 3-year-old and a 3-month-old, both boys. I don't think I ever realized how messed up my relationship with my mother was until now. My son was born on the night she came to visit, and from that evening it was weird. My husband says stress about her threw me into labor. She said she came to help me with the new baby, but she seemed to have an agenda of her own. She stayed upstairs the entire time because this woman had birth by a midwife, and she never responded to the fact that she was in labor. And when, after she gave birth, she was having pain, and the next evening, the mother casually asked her what she was cooking for supper. This is just beautiful. Blows my mind. By the second day of this mother's visit, she was already complaining that her daughter didn't appreciate her and kept complaining that she had a cold. She wanted her daughter to take care of her, and her daughter was having problems breastfeeding. Her daughter was having afterbirth pain, and her mother was being very, very needy. And her husband overheard her talking to this woman's mother, was talking to her aunt, complaining at how selfish her daughter was being because she didn't show appreciation for being there. She wanted to brag to her friends and family on the phone how she came all this way to help with the baby, but she's absolutely done nothing. Now, while she was there, she organized the house to suit her liking. Instead of helping with her daughter and the baby, like making breakfast or cooking dinner or even holding the baby, anything, she spent time reorganizing the kitchen. She bought new things and threw out old things. She just made the kitchen her way. And she even threw out some things, two of which were her husband's belongings. And they were placemats, but they were placemats that his grandmother had given him and had passed away. And they were very, very precious to him. But when they asked her where they went, the mother lied. She said she didn't touch them, and it became a huge issue because she kept denying. I mean, all of a sudden these placemats are gone, and she keeps denying that she had nothing to do with this. Well, then this woman's father comes to visit, and the mother, all she has to tell him is that she called me a liar, that the daughter called her a liar, and that it seems to trump the fact that she actually lied about taking the mats and throwing them away and replacing them with the ones she bought. And the father is, let's see what he says. There's actually 5 pages of this letter. Well, I'll get back to what the father did, but there were too many issues to count, and the mother stayed for 2 months. 2 months! And the whole dynamic of the home change. She wasn't allowing her daughter to give time out to her toddler. When the daughter tried to set boundaries with her, she just pouted for 2 to 3 days. Very bizarre. She just sat there and pouted. She would just sit there and stare. She didn't yell, but she sat there and stared at her. And if the daughter ever asked her to do something, she wouldn't do it. So the daughter said it would be helpful if she could get up with her older son once or twice so that the husband could sleep in, because he was getting up every single day with the son and she was getting up with the baby. Let's see. When she couldn't yell at me about the timeouts anymore, she moved to anything and everything she felt I was doing wrong. Basically, nothing I did with my children was good enough. When she didn't like my response, then she went behind my back to my husband and tried to get him on her side by asking him to talk to me. She did this over and over. She talked to her daughter in front of the children, which was very upsetting to the children. And she says that the mother has a habit of saying she's coming to help, and then when she comes, she doesn't do anything. When she's around, it's like she's waiting for a reason to attack me. I've never done anything right in her eyes. Now that I have children, she is constantly telling me everything I'm doing is wrong. She tells me what they should eat, where, how we should discipline, what care products I should be using, and it goes on and on. So she finally left on pretty bad terms, and the daughter explained why I was upset, outlining the various ways she crossed the line. She sends me this letter in which she blames me for everything, and she says that she has forgiven me and moved on. I just don't know what to say. My husband and I have a peaceful, loving home. It was horrible. She caused all kinds of problems. It was like she needed drama to exist. And then she sends me this crazy letter and tells me she forgives me. The father enables the mother's craziness. He can't go totally off the deep end when he's around. He doesn't think that the mother's right, but as soon as she starts playing the victim, he goes and he backs her up and starts defending her again. Well, there's, you know, she said that's a lot of crazy for one email, but you know, she said, I started to feel like my mother is a terrible person. The person she is on the phone is so different to the person she is in person. Like I said, she talks a good game. Okay. Well, this is so classically narcissistic that, yes, your mother is a narcissist. She's a pathological narcissist. It's all about her. It's always been about her. What she did with the baby is very typical. They narcissistic mothers like to play the martyr. They like to be there and say, I'm doing everything. Nobody's helping me. I'm doing it all. But they really do nothing. It's interesting because I always thought my mother was such a good mother and such an effective mother. And once I got out of the crazy stage where I could finally see what happened in my childhood, I realized she did nothing. But my father said she was such a wonderful mother. She said she was such a wonderful mother. I believe she was such a wonderful mother, but she really didn't do much of anything. My father really did everything. As far as your father goes, he's not really a victim in this, because men who get into relationships with women like this, if they have a boundary system and they're and they have a good, strong self-esteem, set of self-esteem issues, and they know who they are, they don't get caught up in with women like this for years and years and years, and they will recognize that the children are being abused, and they will take the children out. Men who stay in these relationships have just become puppets, and they have no self anymore, and they can't protect their children. And so he may come off like a nice guy, but he's not doing anything to protect you. What's interesting to me is that you say that she never hit you, you were never physically abused, so you don't feel like you were necessarily abused. This is clear emotional abuse. You were severely abused. She is still abusing you. And it's something that children, especially children of narcissistic parents, have a very hard time seeing that what they experienced was abuse, because it's the only thing that they know. So I can tell you that you were severely abused, and this, just the fact alone that you can say that you don't think that you were abused as a child tells me that you were so severely abused that all these tactics that these mothers use were used on you to make you believe that this was absolutely normal. This runs very, very deep. I think it's very good. You said that you were supposed to have your parents back for Christmas, but you wanted to have a peaceful Christmas and that you told them they couldn't come. You feel that your dad was a casualty in this mess, but you know he was looking forward to meeting his grandson and he couldn't come. But you did the right thing. Having your mother around is going to be nothing but toxic, manic, chaotic, drama. That's all it is when your mother's around. So you have a choice to make. And you made that choice for Christmas, which is a really, really good choice. Listen, you just had a baby. You need some time, some quiet time, some family time to recuperate. And you also said that your children, your toddler, I think you said, was stammering after while your mother was there, and that it stopped after she left. This is creating complete havoc in your house. She's a very, very toxic person to you and your children and your husband. And there's going to have to be boundaries established, very firm boundaries. I think also in the letter that you say that, you know, you told her if she doesn't stop, she would have to leave. Well, if we tell these mothers that if they don't stop, they have to leave, but we don't make them leave, then we're completely ineffective. And this is all part of setting up the boundary systems that we need to set up with these people, where they have to know what we will and will not tolerate, and we have to be so firm in those guidelines that if they do one little thing, they're out. So this is going to involve a lot of work on boundary systems, a lot of work examining what happened in your childhood, so that you can understand what's happening now. Because just to make this go away, or just to, there's just no way to deal with your mother without understanding the roots of what this is all about. And this is a syndrome. And it's uncommon, come on, Randy, think of the word. It's very similar in almost every situation. There's obviously the dynamics, all the little things that happen are different. But the entire manipulation and the way that they go about this and their reactions and the things that they say are very, very typical and textbook, and they all seem to have read this book. So there's a lot of work that needs to be done, and I would hope that you will at least get some counseling. I would love for you to call me and talk to me about this. Again, you can contact me through randygfine.com/fine life issues counseling. Let's have at least one session so I can get clear with you on what's going on here, because it's hard for me to answer this question, especially a 5-page story like this, without really getting into all the details and explaining so much of it to you. But I want you to know that there's a severe boundary issue between you and your mom that she is going to cross and continue to cross until you learn what her tactics are, till you understand what she's trying to do, and learn how to stop that. And at that point, that's when you can make a decision whether or not you can truly have her in your life or not. Now, the fact that she's long distance, there may be a way that you can do it, that you can have these phone calls with her occasionally. But as far as visits, I'm not sure that's ever going to be able to happen. But we need to do some work on this. Now, for anyone that's listening and for both of the women that have written letters to me, if you don't choose to seek me out for your counseling, please seek out someone who has experience with narcissistic personality disorder. I can't say this enough. Just because someone has a degree or is a doctor in psychology or anything like that does not mean that they know how to deal with this particular situation. This is a very, very specific kind of situation, and you need someone who has very specific experience with it. I do. And I hope that, you know, my fees are really reasonable. So, and we can talk over the phone from wherever you are. So I really hope that you will give me a call, and let's just try to talk some of this out. You know, if not, if you want to seek somebody in your area, then make sure, please make sure that they have dealt with this extensively, or it will not be beneficial to you. And you will get one of the things that happens is you'll be made to feel guilty for a lot of the guilt feelings that you have. The other thing is they're going to get into the nitty-gritty of the relationships, trying to solve little things that really are part of a much, much bigger picture. So that's why, you know, I really would hope that you will work with me or work with somebody that has this experience. Again, my website is randigfine.com, R-A-N-D-I-G-F-I-N-E.com. And if you go to the Fine Life Issues Counseling page, there is a link that will send you directly to how I make appointments and that kind of thing. And I'm available pretty much 12 or more hours a day to take your calls because I am doing it over the phone. So it's not like I need to set up office hours. I'm really there for you. So, you know, please call me. Let's set up some appointments. I thank you for sending in the letters that you did send in. I hear your pain, I know, and I really wish that I had more time to focus on you, which is why I'm asking you to, you know, to contact me so we can really try to get to the root of this, and I can get you feeling better. I know that I can. I know that I can get you to open your eyes and to see what's going on and what's causing your confusion, and you'd be amazed at how well, how quickly we can get that done. So anyway, well, the show is almost over. I'm going to the doctor in a little while. Hopefully get rid of this pain. I've been to acupuncture. I've been to an osteopath. Nothing's getting rid of it, so I don't know what it's going to be. But anyway, the show's over. Thank you for writing in. Thank you for listening in. And please visit my website, randigfine.com, sign the guest book, read my articles. There's many articles there, not just about MPD, but about many, many things. If you enjoy listening to my shows, please become a show follower. All my shows are broadcasted or archived after broadcasting, can be listened to at your convenience on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, or through the show links on my website. There are, on my website also, are every show that I ever do is listed on my show page on my website, and there are links to every show with descriptions. But you can also go to blogtalkradio.com/randy-fine, and that is where that's the Blog Talk Radio show page. So I actually have two that you can access it from. You can either go to Blog Talk Radio or go to my website. And again, please stop by my Facebook page. I also have a Randy G. Fine Facebook page, and I also have a Narcissistic Abuse Survivors United page. Please go there. Let's get this page built, and let's get it strong so I can help you. You can help others. It helps to have this collaboration of people. So the more people that sign up there or like it, you know, I like whatever. The more people that are there, the stronger the page gets, the more I will post. But I always do post articles and I post my shows and things like that. So you can find that there. So, well, thanks again for tuning in and listening to A Fine Time for Healing. This is Talk Radio show host and author and counselor Randy Fine signing off until next time. May joy and serenity always be yours. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening. You can find out more about Randy at her website, Randy G. Fine, RANDIGFINE.com. Join her next time for more of A Fine Time for Healing.
Hard not to hesitate. We can't wait to be the change. Be the change. Be the change. Be the change. There's a better way.